at 40 years old, and now he's an 80-year-old man. Well, again, 40 years have passed since the time that he murdered the Egyptian, and now the time that God has called him. Isn't it amazing that even as a murderer that God still used him? Can I go ahead and make my way to the cross now? And tell you how they hung him high and they stretched him wide from the third to the ninth hour. And tell you how that in Mark 15 and 25, at the third hour, Jesus Christ was crucified. Tell you how in Mark 15 and 33, that at the sixth hour, there was darkness all over the land, even until the space of the ninth hour. And tell you that in Mark chapter 15 and verse 34, at the ninth hour, Jesus began to cry out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means in from Greek to Hebrew, is my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can I go ahead and tell you how they pierced him and how they beat him unmercifully? Can I go ahead and tell you the story about how they had, the Bible says, and I believe it's Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10, that it pleased God to bruise him and he has put him to grief. Hold on 1 minute. I don't want to tell it just yet. Let's go, saints. And in verse 8 of Exodus chapter 3, he says, you know what? And I am come down to deliver. You know what the interesting thing is? Y'all, I'm just trying to take my time because that word dealing with God and Moses is so rich and it's so heavy. It seems like you just never get to the end of the pot. Y'all know how we scrape that gumbo sometimes and scrape them spaghetti and we just can't stand when we get to the end of the pot, even though that's the best. Let's go, y'all. It says, I am come down to deliver. And God here is telling Moses that he's heard them, he's seen what they're going through. Now, you know what the thing is that the children of Israel at this point, just to put things in its proper context, the children of Israel have been in slavery to the Egyptians and have been oppressed by the Egyptians almost 150 years. You know what is something, Pastor Smith? Exodus chapter 2, around verses 23 and 24, it would talk about how God had even heard their groaning and he had even heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster. And rather than answering them, God didn't even answer them, but he turned around and told Moses, Moses, I've heard them. Isn't it something that Moses didn't even have to endure what the children of Israel endured? But you know what? He still sent Moses, a man who the Bible said that when he got to Jethro's daughters, as he sat down by a well, and the shepherds came and ran his daughters away, his seven daughters, of which would come his wife Zipporah. It says that Moses had stood up and helped the women, after which time Jethro had begun to ask his seven daughters, where is the man and why have you left him? Call him that he may eat bread. And not only that, but the Bible would talk about how, yes, Jethro had not only given Moses a house in his house, he had fed him, he had given him food, he had given him a place to stay, and he even gave him his daughter Zipporah. Jethro even gave Moses a job, and his job is found in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1, because it said that he's keeping the sheep or keeping the flock of the priest Jethro, his father-in-law. Ah, let's go, saints. We're rolling. And I am come down for a purpose, and that purpose is to deliver. When we ask God to move, saints, we're looking for God to move with purpose. And because God, we are anticipating God to move for a purpose, then we should be moving with purpose also. So many times we've prayed to God and asked God to deliver. I like this that they put it up because it gives me a little prop while I'm preaching. But so many times we'll ask God to deliver us and we'll ask God to move. But when God moves and God begins to deliver us, then we just sit idly by as though our work is finished. Jesus says from the right hand of power in Revelation chapter 22, he says, and behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give unto every man according as his work shall be. And the blessed part for us is in Revelation 22 and 16. He says, I, Jesus, have put my angel in the churches to testify to you of these things, that I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. He says, I've put my angel in the church. Let's go, saints. Them, watch this, out of the hand of the Egyptians. There it is. Out of the hand. And to bring them up out of that land. Not just pulling us out of his hand, but pulling us out of the enemy's land. And we just need to stop for a moment on this morning and ask ourselves the question, are we still residing in the enemy's land? come out wherever you are. And to bring them up out of that land, he says, unto a good land and a large flowing with milk and honey, unto the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Jebusites. Y'all, if y'all hadn't heard anything else that I said, listen close, please. True deliverance is not when you say God delivered you and you're still in the same place that you are. It's right there in the scripture. Because God says in verse 8 that I'm coming to deliver them. And my deliverance is marked and identified by bringing people out. And not only does he say that I'm bringing them out, but he says first I'm bringing them up. Deliverance, saints, is not when God, or not when we say that God has delivered us and we're still in the same place that we are. I told y'all the story of David and Saul when he said that the Lord delivered the sheep out of the mouth and of the lion and the bear, and God delivered me out. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, Peter the apostle would write these words to Jews of the dispersion. Lord, help me. He says, God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. And so if we are still in the place where we say that God has delivered us, we need to ask ourselves within ourselves, has God truly delivered us? And right here he says, what I'm doing, I'm coming down, I'm moving on your behalf, and I'm moving to deliver you. I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, he says, and also to bring them. If I bring you, see, you're in the hand of the enemy. But if I bring you, I really can't bring you unless I put my hand on you. Unless I touch you, I really can't bring you. You're a tall man to bring, though. And to bring them up out of that land unto a good land. And a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Watch what he says. He says a good land. It's a large land. And he says it's flowing. He's describing the place that he's bringing us to. What he's purposed to do by his coming down and moving on the behalf of his children, he has a purpose to bring us into somewhere that is going to be bigger, or rather going to be better. That's good. He says large, that's bigger. He says, and a land that is flowing. Now watch it. He says with milk and honey. Milk and honey is symbolic of our wants and our needs. But God said that he's bringing you to that place. But what we have to do in the meantime is submit ourselves unto his will. Yes. How many of us know that the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 14, they had began to question Moses. They didn't question God, but they questioned Moses. And they said, why is it that you have done this to us? Why have you dealt this way with us? It would have been better for us to perish in Egypt. At least we would have had a decent burial. You know what? Some of us have spent so long in affliction and have spent so long in the enemy's hand, the enemy's land, and see the enemy's camp that, you know what? We don't even realize the blessing when it's sitting right before us. God is moving in a direction to deliver us. And the question on this morning is, will you be there to go back with him when he comes? Flowing with milk and honey. It's flowing with our wants and our needs. He says, unto the place, again, this is God moving them from Egypt to another place. That's deliverance. Unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come. He says, unto me. He says, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, watch this. Because in verse 5 of Exodus chapter 3, when Moses goes to Mount Horeb, also known as Mount Sinai, in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5, the Lord told him, wait, don't come near me. Take off the shoes of your feet, for the place that you are standing on is holy ground. Moses had to be obedient because in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5, he comes forward and God tells him, hold on, wait, don't come a step further. He said, take off the shoes of thy feet, for the place that you're standing on is holy ground. And then in Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible said, he said, okay, now come on. Yeah. He says, and now, come on. He says, and I'm going to send thee over there to deliver them. Hold on, wait, God. I thought you said you was going to deliver them. I'm scared. I can't go. I'm an old man. Moses is an 80-year-old man. And Moses still has doubts about where God is sending him. Moses is an 80-year-old man. And Moses still has doubts about where God is sending him. God told him, he said, because Moses began to say, you know what, Lord, I'm not worthy. And he said, Lord, what am I going to say to them? He says, Lord, I'm not of an eloquent speech. Actually, I'm of a slow tongue. Moses was saying, I'm slow. That's what he said. How many of us know for each of the four excuses that Moses had given to God why he couldn't go, God gave him the reason why he was sending him? Yeah. Oh, church, it's time to stop the excuses, and it's time to start accepting the responsibility that God has set before us. It's hard, but it's fair. What was that old commercial? Chew on that. Saints, we going home. We won't touch on verses 9 and 10, but I do want to highlight just a few things before I close. Because the children of Israel, the Bible talked about how in Genesis chapter 15 and 13, it talked about how in Acts chapter 7 and 6, that the children of Israel would be oppressed for 430 years. But I told you that what has happened is that they have only physically been in that land and under the oppression of the Egyptians for about 150 years. So what is going on in the text? I think I'm going to need Basil to help me. If you will. I think you're pretty quick-handed on the keyboard and perhaps in your study. I do believe that in my spirit. Because Genesis 15 and 13 and Acts chapter 7 and verse 6 says that the children of Israel would be in oppression and slavery for 430 years. But then Exodus chapter 12 and 40, it said that the children of Israel will sojourn in a strange land for 400 years. Yes. I'm having an issue with that. Because, see, if I was to read my word in a carnal mind, I would put my Bible down and I would say that God has lied in his word. Because on one hand, Genesis 15 and 13 and Acts 7 and 6 talks about 430 years. But then Exodus 12 and 40 talks about 400 years. And rather it's 430 or rather 400. Why is it that the children of Israel have only been there for nearly 150? Basil, you mind helping me? Well, if you would just be my ready writer. Let's talk a little bit. Because Genesis chapter 12 and verse 4, it talks about how Moses was 75 years old. And so from Moses being 75 years old until the time, I believe it's in Genesis 21 and 5, it talks about how he had given birth unto his son Isaac when he was 100 years old. So 75, but yeah, that's what do we have? 100 minus 75, what does that give us? 25. Let's keep in our mind, 25 years, okay. I believe that is Genesis chapter 25 and verse 26. That says that Isaac was 60 years old when he begat Jacob. Let's add 60. Oh, my goodness. We at 85? The Bible would talk about when Jacob had came into Egypt. I believe it's Genesis. I got so many scriptures in my head, I don't even know. I believe it's somewhere around Genesis, thank you, Lord, 47 and verse 9. It would say that Jacob was 130 years old when he had came into Egypt. That's Genesis 47 and 9. So 85 plus 130, I think we're getting somewhere. Who said it? Somebody said it. 215. So we're halfway to those 430 years. Okay. Well, let's think about it. Let's think about it a step further. Because if we take Joseph dying at 110 years old, and the Bible talks about how he was 39 years old when his father Jacob had come into Egypt and stood before Pharaoh at, what was it, 130 years old? So 110 is how old Joseph was when he died. And 39 is how old Joseph was when he had when his father had come into Egypt. So let's do 110 minus 39. That should give us 71. So 215 plus 71. Let me call Cleco. Let me call Cleco right quick. So we had 286. And so 286, watch this. I told y'all that they had been there for about the space almost of 150 years. So 286 plus 144 would give us 430 years. Let's talk about it. 215 years were they there, or that's how long it took them to get into Egypt. 71 years, 215 plus 71 to 71 years is how long they were in Egypt and were not oppressed to the Egyptians. And then the 144 years is how long they were there under oppression, equaling 430 years. But we still have an issue. What happens? Y'all, we getting ready to go because I know y'all waiting on Texas Roadhouse. But what happens? Because again, we saw in one place 430 years. But Exodus 12 and 40 said 400 years. What happens in Exodus, what happens in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 13, and what happens in Acts chapter 7 and verse 6, is that the scripture very specifically points not just to Abraham, but to his seed. And we find it written, I believe, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. It talks about how that Isaac would be his seed. Okay. So how do we get to 400 years from 430? We exclude Abraham. That would take off 25 years because, again, it's not talking about him in Exodus 12 and 40. So we would, remember when Basil did 100, that was the age of Abraham when he had given birth unto his son Isaac. And he left his land, which was in Haran, at 75. 100 minus 75 is 25. But it's not talking about Abraham. So let's take that off. We still need 5 years to get down from 430 to 400. We've got the 25. We still need 5 more years. Because Isaac was his seed. It started at Isaac, what's been talked about in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40. And the Bible would say that when Isaac was 5 years old, that Isaac began to be mocked. Genesis 21 and 9, Isaac began to be mocked by his brother Ishmael. And that's where his affliction started. It's hard, but it's fair, saints. Pastor Smith, you want to open the doors of the church? Yes, sir. We laugh, but you know what? I've been to many churches, and this is just something before I close. I've been to many churches where men and women of God will take that privilege of opening the doors unto themselves. That's highly an error. Because the bishop or the overseer has been given as the watchman over our souls. So with that being said, if there be one on this morning so desiring to be saved and so desiring to receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, you may make your way to the altar at this current time, or whatever there is that's troubling you. Again, we must be reminded that God is moving in a direction to deliver us. And I don't know about y'all, but even after having been saved, sometimes I still need God to come in and work some things out for me. See, when we get saved, a lot of times people think that it just stops right there. And people think that, oh, that life is just a bed of roses. But y'all, sometimes we still go through things. If there's anyone on this morning so desiring in their heart to be saved, if there's anybody that's so desiring to be baptized, if there's anyone seeking prayer on this morning, for the scripture says, whosoever will, let them come, and he will in no wise cast them out. Again, saints, he has given us power. He says that he's given us power not only to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease, but he said that he's given us power even over all the power of the enemy. And you know what he told us that's so sweet and special for us as believers? He says that nothing shall by any means hurt us. I told y'all what a good definition of all was. Anybody remember? All. A good definition of nothing is nothing. He says that nothing shall by any means hurt us. That means those folks on your job that's trying to hurt you, they won't hurt you. Those folks in the community that's trying to hurt you. People that's trying to come up against your finances and people that are trying to come up against marriages, a union, a special and a sacred union that God has instituted. It says that they won't hurt you. The enemy is desiring to take us out. The Bible says in the end of days, it says that the Antichrist will come and that he will make war with the saints. It says for time, times, and the dividing of time, meaning 3.5 years. It says that he will prevail against the saints. But Daniel would say in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 22, he says, I beheld until God, the Ancient of Days, came. And he says that judgment was given unto the saints. He says, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Will there be another on this morning? The invitation is ours to extend, is yours either to accept or reject.
They both come for prayer.
Anything in particular?
God bless you. We hope that this message has encouraged your heart. We invite you to come worship with us at our Sunday school service beginning at 9 a.m. Our morning worship service at 11 a.m. Bible study every Wednesday night from 7 to 8. If you would like to correspond with this ministry, you can write us at 2627 Willow Glen Road, Alexandria, Louisiana. Again, thank you and may God bless you.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Listening to this broadcast and listen to the program of a young man that's doing great works. And many folks who have been to see him have been healed. There have been many who have overcome various problems in their home, sicknesses. Those who have been broke, they have begun to find innumerable amounts of wealth coming to them out of nowhere. And those of you that would call this man of God right now, Reverend Gregory. Remember, right now, my friend, if I were you, I would not put it off. I would not delay it. I would call right now. Pick up the telephone. If you stand in need of help, right now. You like that condition move? Right now. Those of you that have peace in your home, right now. You that have the unknown sickness, right now. Man, if you have that nature problem, right now. called the man of God, Reverend Gregory. Remember right now, my friend, call Reverend Gregory right now. Now, here's a testimony, my friend, of somebody that went to see this man of God and who was touched and who followed and obeyed instructions, and deliverance came to them. And my friend, the same can happen for you. Those of you that are sincere, you that really and truly want to experience a miracle in your life, call Reverend Gregory right now as you're hearing this broadcast. Call him right now and ask my friend for an appointment to see Reverend Gregory.
Me,
God bless you in Radio Land. God bless to all my father's children, for as far as my voice can be heard, once again here on another Lord's Day. Call a friend, call a neighbor, tell them that the radio's on right now. Get your pencils and paper ready, friends. Write down the prayer line. Write down the mailing address. You that have trouble with bad luck. You that have that sickness in your body, whether it's natural or unnatural. Yes, you that want that loved one right there back at home. That one has gone astray. You're wondering how to rebuild your life and your home with peace and joy.
I need thee.
Some say, Reb, right now I'm dealing with evildoers throwing stumbling blocks and sitting back and watching. Some are dealing with unnatural things like that witchcraft, that voodoo. Some say, well, Reb, I have a court case that's pending, and it seems unwinnable. Get your pencils and paper ready, friends. Write that mailing address down. Those of you that are calling, that telephone number, my friends, is 404-212-2444. If the line is busy, friends, just dial me right back. You know, I've had herbal teas and remedies for those of you who have that heart condition. Those of you that wanted to lose weight. Some right now have trouble growing hair. Some of you have that nature, my friends, that's on vacation. Some say, well, Rev, I got that arthritis, that gout, that rheumatism, getting up in the evening trying to make to the restroom, holding on to the dressers and the doorknobs. Friends, telephone number 404-212-2444. Again, that's 404, area code 404-212-2444. And I'll be here at the prayer line all throughout the day asking you, and especially you, my friends, not to give up. Just that faith, my friends, can bring you through, whether you know it or not. That faith of a grain of mustard seed. Yes, friends, some say, well, right now, if they didn't have bad luck, they wouldn't have no luck at all. Seems like mosquitoes won't even bite you. I'll be here right here today, my friends, asking you not to give up, praying with you that are trying to overcome. Write that telephone number down, friends. Write it down. That's 404-212-2444. If the line is busy, just dial me right back. I'll be here throughout the day. Those of you that are writing, my friends, that mailing address is Post Office Box 16903. That's P.O. Box 16903. And I know, my friend, that you too
can come through. That strict